This poem is called The Settled Bed. Will Doan, I got it in a will, Will Doan waited for, in place at last and for good. Trunk hasped, cart heavy, painted an ignorant brown, and pew straight, bin deep, standing four square as an ark. If I lie in it, I am cribbed in seasoned deal, dry as the unkindled boards of a funeral ship. My measure has been taken, my ear shuttered up. Yet I hear an old somber tide awash in the headboard. Unpathetic, och, ochs and och, hoes, the long bedtime sigh life of Ulster. Unwilling, unbeaten, Protestant, Catholic, the Bible, the beads. Late talks at gables by moonlight, boots on the hearth, the small hours time sleepily away, sweetly away. So next thing it was the cock and the ridge tiles. And now this is an inheritance, upright, rudimentary, unshiftably planked in the long ago, yet willable forward again and again and again, cargoed with its own dumb tongue and groove worthiness, an unget-roundable weight. But to conquer that weight, imagine a dower of settled beds tumbled from heaven, like some nonsensical vengeance come on the people. Then learn from that harmless barrage that whatever is given can always be reimagined, however foursquare, plank-thick, hull-stupid, and out of its time it happens to be. You are free as the lookout that far-seeing joker posted high over the fog, who declared by the time he got down himself, the actual ship had been stolen away from beneath him. These are two short poems from a sequence called Lightnings. Once on a field, Once as a child, out in a field of sheep, Thomas Hardy pretended to be dead and lay down flat among their dainty shins. In that sniffed at, bleated into grassy space, he experimented with infinity. His small, cool brow was like an anvil waiting for the sky to make it sing the perfect pitch of his dumb being. And that stir he caused in the fleece hustle was the original of a ripple that would travel 80 years outward from there to be the same ripple inside him at its last circumference. I misremembered. He went down on all fours, Florence Emily says, crossing a ewe lease. Hardy sought the creatures face to face. Their witless eyes and liability to panic made him feel less alone, made proleptic sorrow stand a moment over him, perfectly known and sure. And then the flock's dismay went swimming on into the blinks and murmurs and deflections he'd know at parties in renowned old age, when sometimes he imagined himself a ghost and circulated with that new perspective. This is actually a translation from Irish, Iscaigh mo chrub on scribhin, 12th century job. Iscaigh mo chrub on scribhin. My hand is cramped from pen work. My quill has a tapered point. Its bird mouth issues a blue dark beetle sparkle of ink. Wisdom keeps swelling and streams from my fine-drawn, sallow hand, river run on the vellum of ink from green-skinned holly. My small, runny pen keeps going through books, through thick and thin, to enrich the scholar's holdings, penwork that cramps my hand.
Since childhood, I was fascinated by the things that can be folded and unfolded, hence the settled bed. The message of the poem is clear. It's about heritage and tradition, but it has some darker overtones in it and a brilliant joke in the end, which makes the poem complete and serves two purposes. It takes away the shadow and makes the moral of the poem easy and unobtrusive. Вещь завещанная, жданная и вставшая намертво в угол, громоздкая, как ларь или телега, прямая, как церковная скамья, раскладная, с крючками. Лягу внутрь, в этот короб тесовый, сосновый, вроде люльки или ладьи погребальной. Он придется мне в пору, как мерку снимали. Слышу, древние волны плещут мое изголовье, монотонные ритмы наших ольтерских гимнов, долгих охов и ахов, деловитых, настырных, протестантских лесбиблии, католических щетками по вечере, разговоров полголоса в отблесках догорающего очага, дальний колокол или крик петуха над ребристой кровлей. Это ль наше наследие? Неказистое, темное, в дальний угол задвинутое, оно возвращается вновь и вновь, как корабль, тяжело нагруженный несговорчивым грузом, держащийся прочно на шипах и пазах своих. Вот я и подумал, если б вдруг небеса ради шутки низвергли целый ливень кроватей скамейных, чтоб люди этой местью безвредной застигнуты поняли, что каким бы нелепым ни казалось приданное наших бабушек, но предать его нам обойдется слишком дорого. Помните старую байку, как на мачте дозорный матрос, долго вглядывавшись вдаль туманную, слез и вдруг обнаружил, что корабль-то его в это время украли. Next one, Squarings. Well, I may be wrong, but I think it's about the initiation of a poet that comes, the first ripple of initiation that comes from the sharp feeling of loneliness known to every human creature, but especially to poets. And the Russian version. Однажды в раннем детстве Томас Гарди, гуляя в поле, притворился мертвым и навзничь лег в траву, смутив овечек. Пока они, дыша над ним и блея, топтались там, он ставил важный опыт. Его прохладный лоб, как наковальня, удара с неба ожидал и звона, который все преобразит. Волнение, произведенное в кудрявом стаде, лишь первым всплеском было тех кругов, что расходились 80 лет, и даже жизнь спустя не изменились. В скобках. Я спутал. Гарди, встав на четвереньки, как пишет Флоренс Эмили, пошел навстречу овцам. Их глаза большие, и нервное шараханье смягчали его печаль и странную тоску заброшенности, раннее наследие ребяческой души. И вдруг все стадо исчезло, расплылось, и он остался один среди мерцания и гула, как это будет в старости, в гостях, когда себя воображал он духом и обживался с новой перспективой. And the last one is translation is a tribute to Seamus Heaney, the translator, and also it has a long story for me because I translated the very poem some 30 years ago, and of course I could just put this translation as a translation of Seamus Heaney's translation, but. Well, I preferred actually to make another version and to highlight those details that were highlighted in the in this Irish translation. Well, I actually may read both translations. The first one is in triambics. Рука писать устала, писалом острым новым, что клюв его впивает, то извергает словом, премудрости прибудет, когда честно и чисто на лист чернила лягут из ягод астролиста, шлю в море книг безбрежно, прилежное писала, стяжать ума и благо, рука писать устала. And the last version is difficult in a different rhythm. Кисть от писания сводит, клюв у писала жаден, как жучки на тропинке, буквы блестят в тетради. Мудрости ток струится, из-под руки усталый падуб вечно зеленый дал на чернила ягод. Взгляд по страницам рыщет, в мысленных дебрях бродит, ищет уму добычу, кисть от писания сводит. Thank you.
Sorry, this is what I forgot to ask you earlier, which was to keep applause for the end. It leads to a little bit less interruption, and we have quite a lot to get through. But thank you very much for the applause, but keep the rest of it for the end. Thank you.